Here we are. Steven, how are you?
I'm great. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfect. Can you see me and hear me all right?
I see you perfectly. I'm looking at the white doves in your background.
Excellent. There's also one above your head. And if she, you know, shit on you, it's for good luck. Yeah, so no worries. Yes, most people in Israel, at least, do not know you. And this is probably because you, maybe like your dad, have been working behind the scenes. You know, we know many people you've worked with, but we don't know it was you who worked with them. The same goes for your dad. So I think it would be great if you can share with us, the viewers, the listeners, you know, a bit about who you are, where you come from. Because I find it quite fascinating. We spoke briefly a week ago, roughly, understanding that we are going to have this conversation. And while speaking with you, I kind of started to realize who you are and what you've been doing. And after that, I entered your website, which I'm going to see here, very soon. But before I do that, I think it would be great if you introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. I'm a wanderer. I was born on October 18, 1952, and I believe and came into Earth with a message. And I've spent my whole life trying to find revelations as to why am I here? Who am I? What's the difference between you and me? What am I supposed to do? What are we supposed to do as a whole? And where do we go from here? So I spent my whole life searching those answers, and I did it through pop culture. Due to my father's background, and my father knew that I was searching for something, he allowed me when I was a boy to sit with the artist, because I got into conversations with the artist as a teenager. You know, when starting at 10, or even before I was a teenager, I would ask them questions and they would give me answers. And it was a lot better than going to my school where they taught me to, you need to do this, you need to believe that, this is what we do. When I was in seventh grade, I got thrown out of school because they were trying to teach me what the Vatican wanted you to know, that the Catholics discovered the Pacific.
One second, Stephen, sorry. Can you move back? Because
there we go. How about
that? Yeah, something like that, and maybe a bit to your left. Just a bit to your left, if you can move.
Here we go.
Excellent. Now, that's it. Now, go on. Sorry, mate.
Anyway, I was sitting in class, and they started teaching me the Spanish conquistador discovered the Pacific Ocean. And I'm like, that's not true. And all of a sudden, I tell the teacher, that's not true. The teacher says to me, why is that not true? I said, how did he get to the Pacific Ocean? And the teacher told me that the natives took him there. I said, were the natives blind? And he looks at me and goes, you're a wise guy. I said, no, I want to know how come he discovered it as opposed to the natives who brought him there. You know, and my point is, I question everything. I question standard wisdom, knowledge, because there's wisdom. Why do they want me to believe something? So through song, dance, visual images, motion picture images, sculptures, I've studied the world. I've been in Israel. I found it quite enlightening. I had a great time there. I gave lectures around your country. They gave me a full page article in the equivalent to your New York Times. And they said, he may come off as a little bit off, but this guy's crazy enough to bring peace to the world. And that's what I want to do. There is no difference between you and me, except we're stuck inside some matrix that we believe that we're all different. And we may have different cultures, but we're all the same race. We're the same consciousness. We have the same creator, or whatever you want to call your creator. It's the same thing. And we're sitting here killing each other. Because my God's bigger and better than yours. It's like the gorilla in the mist. It's like, are you kidding me? Anyway, my goal is to basically open people's minds, make you smile. And if I could do it through song and dance, if I could do it telling you the stories of everyone I've worked with, because people like stories, let's go.
Excellent. You know, if you can just mention some names that your dad and you've been working with, just so people know where you come from, because it's, I mean, everything you say is like spot on, you know, I'm all for it. And still, I want people to know who you've been working with through your career, because just so they know, because I'm going to refer some questions to that field as well. Don't worry.
Am I okay visually here? Anyway, let's go to the 60s. When I was a boy, I sat with Sam Cooke, James Brown, quizzing them, right? I sat with Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. I sat with Dave Clark of the Dave Clark Five. I sat with Donovan. I sat with the Kinks. You know, it's I lived with the King Crimson. That was one of my favorite albums of all time. It's like, and I sat with Peter Seinfeld, and I'm like, where did you get these lyrics from? And he started teaching me about mysticism. And, you know, you get into mysticism when you're ready to get it. Your teacher will come. Yeah. Everyone needs a teacher. Cool. So and then the 70s, what did I do? I had the Electric Light Orchestra. I had a band called Chic. I was their lawyer, right? Electric Light Orchestra. I ran the business affairs of Jet Records. That's where Ozzy Osbourne came out of. I was partners with Sharon Arden. I moved on to Genesis, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel. I didn't stay with anyone because every one of them had a lesson for me. It was a different chapter. You know, I'm sitting with these progressive people. I'm sitting with these English educated people. You know, I had New Edition. I had Bobby Brown. Whitney Houston made her first record for one of my artists. I had the Wu-Tang Clan. I represented them with Stan Lee. I could go on and on. I mean, I had Kaya, if that makes you laugh, you know, with my son who passed away because I got him into a mess that was just over his head. We had a band called Young Lean. That was the biggest band of 2015 and 16. You know, we had Grimes. That's where Grimes came from. She was signed to our record label. You know, I get into energies. I produced African music, Brazilian music, Italian music, Japanese, Chinese. I've been very fortunate. I've been all over the planet. And I'm honored to be talking to you today. I had Leonard Cohen. You know, I'm looking at the dove. I put out, you know, Bird on a Wire. We had Phil Spector. I've been around. I even was in Saudi Arabia doing oil deals for leasing companies, you know. I've been around. I've played many roles.
And are you a musician, by the way? Do you play any instrument?
No, I play the instruments that I hear in my head.
Yeah.
If I had played any of those instruments, I may have been stuck in that paradigm.
Sure.
I hear everything.
Sure, I understand. And your dad worked with Frank Sinatra?
My dad knew Frank Sinatra well, and he represented everyone around Frank Sinatra. And I laugh because Frank Sinatra he couldn't tell my father that the boys that controlled him would not let dad become his personal lawyer. But dad had Nancy Sinatra, he had Jimmy Bowen, he had Lee Hazelwood. You know, and I grew up in that world. And the flat that we had in England was Frank Sinatra's flat with Mia Farrow. You know, when he was with young Mia Farrow.
I want to show your website. All right. Just for a second. I just want people to see it. Who is Stephen Machat? There's a video of you speaking about yourself and your history. There's many books you've written. You have podcasts. You have the School of Sacred Knowledge gallery, obviously, and contact. And the records label or company that you have. And also, like you said, I think it was Israel Hayom, a newspaper, an Israeli newspaper, who did an article with you. Not that I take much of these newspapers, you know, for this mainstream media, and I bet you know what I mean. I'm just saying you made it to the big press here in Israel as well.
And by the way, I made him put a picture in that article with me sitting with the Palestinians.
Right. I went through the article. I don't remember that, but I believe you.
Yeah.
You know, some of the viewers here, when they hear about someone who worked like you in the music industry, the rock and roll, the pop industry, and you knew a lot of the influencers in the music industry, influencers on us, right? On the audience. And knowing what we know today about how this industry works, what agenda is pushing them forward, what symbols and what signs like with the hands and with the eyes and what they use, the, this hidden language that they use, you know, one may think, who is this man, Stephen? Is he with us or is he with them? Is he with really with the people or is he with the industry? Is he working with them behind the scenes? And I would like you to refer to that because I know you have really broad spectrum of understanding life or understanding, not understanding, understanding is not the right word, but maybe knowing or looking at life in a really broad spectrum, knowing what you know behind the scenes, knowing what you know here, coming to speak with us, you know. My question is, maybe two questions. The first one is, are these people real? I mean, the Michael Jackson, the Mick Jaggers, I mean, are they people like us? And second question is, the interests or the agendas that may drive them, are they aware of it or no?
Okay, there's two types of people, okay? There are people who hear noises, okay? We call them geniuses. What does a genius mean? A genius is a Latin word. If we translate it into English, it means in touch with spirit. They could hear sounds, they could hear noises that don't physically reproduce themselves. And what they do is they get in their heads and all of a sudden they write stuff, they create stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're the enlightened ones. I've been very fortunate to work with many of them because when they're telling me their story, I'm taking that trip with them. I can see it. I have a band called Rocks Revolt in the Velvets. This woman, the lead singer, Rosie Barrios, Rox Barrios, she's from Venezuela and she sees a lot. You know, she went to school down there and they don't limit you. They don't tell you you're crazy. They try to encourage you to create because some hear it at an earlier age. Now let's move to Michael Jackson, okay? I knew Michael Jackson. He's the exact opposite. There's nothing creative about him. He was trying to figure out a new hamburger. He was totally created and manufactured by a record label called CBS, which is Sony. And CBS Sony spent oodles and oodles of dollars to sell his records when they needed basically that token black to get on MTV. And it's important because it's hard to understand. MTV was a cable network. Cable in the United States meant it was underground. And it was connected underground, not above the ground. And MTV was not in the ghettos. And they couldn't get black music on MTV then.
Right.
So all of a sudden, I had all the black acts. I had New Edition. I had Bobby Brown. I had Ready for the World. I couldn't get them on the TV there. But the minute that Gangsta Rap came out, and I was blessed or cursed, I had Snoop, I had Daz, I had Corrupt, I had Bone Thugs and Harmony. I go where the energy is. Energy attracts me and I end up there like a bee looking for honey. And all of a sudden, when they're showing these people doing absolutely insane things, like watching Putin invade Ukraine, it's like, what is this guy smoking? Mm. And the Russians just sit there and they nod their heads. And I've worked with the Russians too. And I feel so horrible that they're allowing this moron to sit there and march troops through his town. And who knows what's going to happen. But going to Michael Jackson, they needed him. So what they did is they made an Oreo cookie. He may be black on the inside, black on the outside, but he was white on the inside. They hired Quincy Jones. They hired a guy named Rod Temperton. Who's Rod Temperton? Great guy. He was my client. We had a band called Heatwave. It was a black and white band out of England that had hits. And when Johnny Wilde got into a car crash and broke his neck, A&M's, you know, their publishing company connected them with Quincy Jones and they made Michael Jackson, totally whitewashed. And, you know, then they let him become the whole thing, you know, and he was a great performer, but he was not a creator. And the only song he claimed that he wrote all by himself on that first album was the song, I Want to Be Starting Something. Well, I had a client called Manu Dibango. And funnily enough, he made that song 7 years early and it was called Soul Mucosa.
Wow.
And of course, I got in the middle of that. And I've known Quincy Jones since I was a boy. I used to sit and talk to him. I'm old, so if your listeners know, Quincy Jones produced, I mean, he produced Leslie Gore. That's where I met him. He was the producer for Mercury Records at that time. Mercury and Mercury had smashed in the U.S. So there's two types of artists. There's the artists that create and they're the artists that perform. And sometimes you get both.
Both, yeah. You know, I saw it and then I showed my son, this was a year ago, a short clip with Michael Jackson explaining how he gets the music, which is totally different from what you're describing now, which obviously I trust you more than this video clip, which I think this video clip is from the 90s even. I'm not sure, maybe early 2000. And he says that he just hears the sounds and the music and then he gets the bass line and after that he puts something on top of it, maybe a guitar, maybe. But first of all, it's the rhythm section and he actually does it, you know, he does the Billie Jean line, you know, and I saw it and I was like, wow, he's the creator. But now you're telling me he was not the creator, just a good performer, and he was just put there by the industry, right? By the record companies, because they wanted to penetrate the ghettos, the black population.
It was the perfect market for him. And I mean, this guy was way over his head, but I'm not going to sit here and have all your listeners believe he didn't contribute to the creations.
Sure.
But Quincy Jones, I'm telling you straight up, is one of the most creative people, yes, I have ever known in my life.
Absolutely.
And he was special. And he made that happen. And also, the most important thing I could explain to everyone listening, as talented as you are, time needs to be right. And, you know, you just got to, when time is right, all of a sudden, I'm looking at you and behind you, you have a window. And you, right? When that window of opportunity opens, you need to know what to do. And if you have that dream, you need to put together a team, because no dream is ever made without a team. And that's the one thing they don't teach you. Michael Jackson had a great team around him. You know, I love sports. I seriously do. So he became the quarterback, using a football expression. He became the pitcher.
Yeah.
But you had Quincy Jones playing catcher. You had all these musicians. You know, I had a friend named David Williams who played guitar. He's the guy that did those guitars on that big hit album. And I don't want to take away anything from Michael Jackson. But I want everyone listening to me to hear this. If he could do it, so can you. You need to find out what your path is. You know, it's the Wizard of Oz. And maybe I'm the wizard sitting behind this curtain. You're exposing me. Believe in yourself. Understand. Hear the noise and the rhythms in your head. Believe in yourself and go for it. And I'm here to tell them. There's nothing you can't do if you put together the team to help you live that dream.
Excellent. That's really empowering. Thank you for that. And I'm going to get to this thing you said about teamwork, which I think is really important. And I want to focus on that. But before I go there, I go back to the question I asked. The music industry has been maybe established on or infiltrated by other interests, which coming through our screen and through the ears, whether it's with words, with signs, with symbols, with graphics, which has nothing to do with music, but has a lot to do with the evildoers behind the scenes. And I'm talking about the families or the banks or the big money who runs this industry, maybe in a similar way to Hollywood, all right?
It's the same thing.
Exactly. And I want you, because the audience, especially here on Freedom Radio Israel, and I guess also yours, is quite advanced audience. And I would like to touch the points which they may have in their head and the questions that they may have in their head. So can you refer to these evildoers behind the scenes, how they push their agenda to the music industry like they do in Hollywood?
Well, Hollywood is the music industry, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're calling them evil. If you reverse evil, E-V-I-L, you live. The trick is to reverse them. They are raised to get money. They are raised to take money. They are raised to steal money. And how do they steal it? They don't tell you the truth. They have a system of lawyers that perpetuate the theft. They don't tell you the truth. They get you to sign contracts. And, you know, I was trained by my dad, who was as good as anyone, you know. my dad said to me, you know, Steve, the problem with these contracts is they tell you on one page what you got to give them, and on the other page they tell you what they're going to give you, but then they give you 48 pages telling you why you're not getting it, and you need the money, and they sit there creating lies, giving them excuses. Yeah. They create games with accounting, but we all do. We create money and we don't tell anyone we create money. We live in a society that tells you have to pay interest because we created money and the bankers loaned it to us. Well, where did they get it? You know, maybe Jesus was right when he went after the bankers. Where did you get the money? What is money? You know, what are you going to do with the money? And the most important thing is, I go on this charade and I'm giving you a metaphysical truth. Business is about quantity. Art is about quality. So the minute business realizes, oh, wow, there's quantity here. Well, there's quantity in what they create only after they create it. Creation is a new song. It's a new seed. You plant it, it will grow forever. Now you live in a world where they taught you not to create. They created intellectual property laws of 90 years. In my constitution, it says for a limited time and a limited duration. That's not 90 years. So now all of a sudden, businesses exist. And what they do is they perpetuate what you've heard. They perpetuate what people bought before. And they tell you, you need to make a hamburger like this. You need to make that. Then they create scams like Spotify. What a nightmare Spotify is. And I used them. So straight up, I used them. In 2013, 14, before everybody got in there, I knew exactly how to manipulate that. I'm not an angel. But I work for the people. I don't work for the establishment. I can't stand them. And I understand that it's only because they're there. Watch someone who used to make oodles of money get fired when no one wants to talk to them. All of a sudden, they become one of you, right? It's really interesting. Art. It's in the word earth. E-A-R-T-H. Drop the E, drop the H. It's art. Heart. Get rid of H-E. You're left with art. Art is creation. If you create something people want, you'll have all the quantity you want. Right now, the music industry is dying because they don't have new creations.
Yes.
I have gone back into the music industry with Debbie. Debbie's my partner. Debbie's my wife. Debbie's the person that she got me back in the industry after my son's death. And I tried to become a U.S. senator because I know more than these people do. I've lived there. I wasn't taken there to go see the surf sunny side of the cities. You know, I lived in Cuba. I mean, if you go to Cuba right now, there's signs on the street saying Stephen Michaud for Senate. I spoke to these people. I made albums there. You know, wow. We were up for a bunch of Grammys. I love life. And life is not being sentenced to a thing where you get more money than you could earn on your own as opposed to creating. And then all of a sudden you work for them. And if they fire you, you have an overhead. What are you going to do with the overhead? Yeah. How are you going to pay the overhead? And then, oh my God, you're going to lose everything. Only when you lose everything will you gain everything. Only when you understand that nothing can own you. Nothing is here to own you. You can't take it with you. You're here to live in the present. It's a gift. You're not here to live in the past, which is, forgive me, it's your ass. You're always looking in your behind. And you're not here to worry about the future because tomorrow will become today. Live in today. That's the revelation I could give to the people listening. And I hope I answered your question. If I didn't, redirect me.
Anyway, we'll get to it in a bit, because what you said a few things which are quite interesting, fascinating, and really, really resonate with me. And I'll tell you why. Before I do that, please, I'm sorry for your loss with your son. Truly sorry. All right.
No, thank you.
My condolences. Really from my heart to yours. You know, roughly 2 weeks ago, maybe less, 10 days ago, I had this phone call in the evening, and the morning after, this was last Friday, okay? Not this last one, but the one before, so maybe 12 days ago, roughly. I got up and I did a broadcast, and I was wearing white. And from that day onwards, I wear white. And I put out a message through this Freedom Radio Israel. And the message was that there's a rumor that the Messiah is here. Some people are already aware of it. Maybe some of them sit in the Knesset of Israel, maybe some of them elsewhere. And it's just a rumor, but it's a real rumor. And what I ask from people is to get prepared. And as, since I address the people of Israel, and I do it in Hebrew, I ask them to start and wear white and start to look into their heart. And since then, and I tell you in a second why I'm saying this, I mean, besides the fact I wanted to share it with you and I would like to discuss this with you, I'll tell you in a second why I did that. Because in these last 2 weeks or 12 days or so, what I've been putting my attention is on Yud. You know, the name of God in the Bible is Yud Hey Vav Hey, like Jehovah. And if I take Yud, the first letter, just a bit to the side, what I'm left with is present, Hove. All right. And you said now, you just said a couple of minutes ago, there's no future, no past, only present. You want to live, it's in the present. And what I've been noticing in these last 12 days, that I am more than any time before, maybe, I am much more in the present. And what I'm trying to communicate outside to the people of Israel who watch it and listen to it, is that times are changing. Wind, a new wind is blowing here. And we need to feel this new wind coming. And it's not new, it's very ancient, it's eternal wind. And it's trying to touch our hearts to sense that it's time to live in the present and to make the right choices through love thy neighbor, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, in order to hasten up, I don't know how to say it, to make redemption come faster. And I think, I know, that's what I'm here to do, to help this come faster and to help others. Now, when you say this, that, you know, about the present, it strikes me, because there's a point here, and it's not a coincidence, especially not now in this time. And if it is a coincidence, this is the private God looking after each and every one of us. If you can tell us, in your eyes, in your brain, in your heart, what do you mean when you speak about being the present? What is this time now that we live in? Is it different than previous times in history? What do you feel? What do you see?
Okay, I'm going to give you metaphysical answers. It's important that people, it's hard to understand what I'm about to tell you. You are much more than your body. Your body is how you live here on earth. Your body is a machine. It's run by the mind. Your mind is not wisdom. Your mind is not eternal. Your mind works to tell you how to survive. Every animal has that type of mind, providing they have a nucleus membrane. It's a program. There are organisms that exist, and you and I were raised to believe you're either a plant or an animal. But that's not true. You could be a fungi or a virus. They don't have nuclear membranes. Yeah. They could change the world when the wind brings them in here. A fungi could live in outer space and bring new energies. We are energy, that's all we are. Our mind has a default mode network. When you sit there and you meditate and you try to get revelations and you try to become a mystic, you need to learn how to shut your mind off, because your mind will put you in your past and make you worried. Absolutely. Or put you in the future and it will make you scared. Where am I getting my money tomorrow? Well, if you believe in yourself, you'll have it. You'll have what you need. You may not have what you want to spend, but maybe you shouldn't spend it. And you're speaking to someone that spends money. I like looking nice. I like life, but not at the expense of my purpose to be here on earth, to be here forever and evermore. So really what you need to do is you need to understand you're more than your body, and your body is your car. It's your gift. And that gift comes with three abilities that no animal has here on Earth. You have the ability to communicate. You have the ability to understand and put thoughts together. But that's not your mind. That's when you override your mind and all of a sudden you're doing something different. And you have the ability through what's called your the top chakra in your head to sit and communicate with the everlasting, eternal creator of all. You could call him in. In my book, Sacred Knowledge, A Rock and Roller's Guide to Higher Consciousness, I tell you how to do it. I try to share everything. I don't want to own you. You could buy my books. You could go wherever you want. I give it to you. And then I'm telling you, I did it. I get it. Like when my son died, you know, he came back to me and I have that energy. I could see frequencies. I can, you know, but I have to concentrate on it. And he came back to me and he looked at me and I'm like, he says to me, Dad, it was an accident. I didn't mean it to happen. It's an accident. I love you, Dad. And he said to me, look, I put a hole in your heart. Just understand my energy will fill your hole. I'll go on this ride with you. Don't you dare stop. And he said to me, everything you wrote in that book, Sacred Knowledge, A Rock and Roller's Guide to Higher Consciousness. He said, it's all true. I looked at his energy and I said, you stupid ass. I didn't need you to die to tell me that. You and I are supposed to play. You know, and I was blessed. I went to 23 countries making music with him. How many people get to do that? Even two countries, right? Yeah. We played baseball everywhere. We played hoops everywhere. But I know he's with me because I know there's more than just this. I know they're there. I study metaphysics in my new book. I mean, this is a must. It's called, We Got to Get Out of This Place, right? I sit and I break down. It just came out the other day. I break down how you get out of this place. You know, my other books, I tell you who you are. What's the difference between you and me? What's the difference between them and us? Why do I hate people from Russia and I love people from the Ukraine? Why do I even hate them? Why do I hate? You know, what is hate all about? Because I can't deal with it, or was it sold to me? Why is everything divided? Why do we divide each other instead of uniting each other? Why are sports so important to all of us and we don't get the lesson sports teach us? You have community rules so everyone can play the game. And we all do it. And then I hear everyone tell me, No. We cannot all get along. Why are we all in the same time zone? The only people who aren't on our time zone is like the countries of India and Pakistan and Bangladesh, which is a funny story. I'll tell it with your listeners. England decided those three countries after imperialism in World War II, they needed to be born the same time. So what they did is on the hour, they gave birth to Eastern Pakistan. They changed India's time zone 30 minutes. So at what was now 12:30 in Bangladesh, it's now 12 o'clock in India. So they too were born on the same day. And then they changed the time zone in Western Pakistan, today called Pakistan. And the word Pakistan means the land of the pure. All those stands, that means land, right? Mm-hmm. And they made their time zone a different hour, but basically we all agree to the time zones. How do these phones work? This is the same system all over the place. We can live in the same system. We can help each other. I look at the idiots. That Putin needs to go bye-bye because there's something really wrong with him. I've had the displeasure of working with him and his lovers or whatever you want to call them. I did a movie that never came out because we couldn't deliver it to Russia, which is another story. I mean, you look at him, he's sitting at the edge there, and he's off. How do you sit there? But by the same token, how do you sit anywhere and all of a sudden decide, I'm going to kill those people? Where did that thought come from? That's a demented thought. And maybe our whole purpose in life is to understand we need to stop that. We don't need to kill each other. We need to help each other. We need to enjoy our lives. And we need to share lives. We need to share it. And in sport, they have rules. And all of a sudden, we accept those rules so each team could have a chance at winning. We don't get it. And it's so obvious. And the most important thing we need to do is a meteorite can come hit the earth. I'm not making that up. Where did the virus come from? I believe the COVID virus came out of the ground and it was created as a fungi that when it got into the air became a virus. And now it's part of our air particles and it's here. But by the same token, because I've started studying viruses and I started studying fungi and I study nonstop. I want the answers. I want the revelations. I'm learning as I read, and I couldn't have done this 7 years ago, 10 years ago. And when I was young, there's no way I could have written these books sure. because where was I getting the information? Sure. You need to know what questions to ask. And so all of a sudden I'm reading about how viruses survive on spaceships, how viruses could come floating into our atmosphere and they could come down through the radiation and they could land here and they could do different things because a virus has no nucleus membrane. And what it is it looks for an organism to live in and to direct and change. You know, if you study fungi, all of a sudden you find out that fungi is how rock becomes soil. It's like, what is this? You've got fungi that eats plastics. You know, you got fungi that's mushrooms and you can go get the magic mushrooms. You know, but if you do that, what are you doing? You're seeing your life because it overrides your brain. You're seeing your life through the eyes of a fungi. And we don't get that. But there's more than just a fungi. We're all a common cause. If I ruled the earth, I would be sitting here figuring out how to make it so we could all survive and thrive and how we could protect planet Earth from invaders. They invade. They come. You know, one of my favorite novelists of all is H.G. Wells. Look what he wrote in the 1880s and 1890s. When they invaded Earth, they died from a bacteria. He wrote that down in 1894. I hope I answered your question. If I didn't, direct me. Because I'm looking at the sun in the middle of all those doves and I'm giving you my light and sitting behind you.
To be honest, no, you didn't answer my question. I'll get to it in a second. I just to tell you that for me, and maybe some of the people who see us now, the idea of Putin is making this out of his head without communicating maybe with controllers he may have, like many presidents and prime ministers, or the idea that what you said about viruses. Now, I'm saying this just to let you know that some of the audience here is quite learned in regard to world affairs and maybe some medical stuff and viruses, germs, fungus, etc. And maybe there's not much agreement here, but this is not why you are here. This is not why we have this conversation. And I don't see much point in getting into these details. I think what's important, at least the way I see it.
Let's go there.
Your take on how to fix what has been broken, especially in the last 2 years, but only in the last 2 years, more people see that it's fucked up, that it's broken. It's been broken for many, many years. And you know, because you come also from this industry, specifically the music industry, etc., the entertainment industry. But this is just one symptom. And what many people see in these last 2 years is that something has been broken. The system has failed. And more people see it and they want to fix it. So what in your eyes, or according to the way you see things, what's the best way to fix what's been broken? Or maybe not to fix, maybe to rebuild or to build something afresh. I don't know.
We need to start over.
How we do that?
It's in the Bible. By the way, my books unravel the Bible. Maybe the Bible told the truth and it's just been rewritten. You know, something created us. And they call themselves gods. They called in the film. Well, what's in the film? I spent my whole life figuring it out. You know, we were definitely created from something else and in the image of that something else, you know, and I could go on and on. It's in my book, Colonization of Earth, The Making of Mankind. And, you know, they colonized us. They built urban centers. That's what the Middle East is all about. That's where they lived. They built that. They also built the Incas regime. I've lived everywhere, you know, I've been in Peru, I've been in Bolivia. I can't get out of what I see. How do we fix it? Well, maybe we need a jubilee. Maybe we need to start all over again. Maybe we need to forgive our neighbors. The ball game's over. Boom. Okay, now we're going to make new rules. I'm a basketball fan, right? So when I was a boy, you could the way to win the game was you would see these coaches. They would hold the ball. So, okay, great. You're up 10-0 and you're holding the ball. Now I got to foul you? It's like, that's not fair. So they created the 3-second clock. They created the 24-second clock. You figure out what doesn't work and fix it. Yeah. What doesn't work? Well, it doesn't work when we don't feed each other. And why don't we feed each other? Well, why? Why does agriculture have to become an industrial business?
Yeah.
It should be something to share. And I've written books about it. You know, what people need to survive, it should not be a private business where the few own all of you. And then they teach. And I'm not a communist, and I'm a socialist. And the truth is, life is social. It's not individual. If you're an island, you'll starve. Those are not my rules. How does a heart work? A heart gives and it takes. It gives the world carbon dioxide and it takes the air that we breathe. It gives and it takes. And if you give too much, you will fall on your face. If you take too much, you'll fall on your back. We have destroyed the world by creating a concept where it's all about private ownership. It's not private ownership. It's basically you need to build a world where the community survives and an individual can thrive. And if an individual wants to thrive, they should have the opportunity to go create whatever they want to create. If it's a new mic, if it's new pics, I'm looking at you. You know, if it's new birds, whatever it is, you should encourage people to create. You should encourage people to dream. And at the same time, you should encourage them to join the community and work with each other and stop it. Work together. Build. This could be heaven here on earth. Why does heaven have to be someplace else? Well, excuse me. You know, it's like, even though I believe in the ever afterlife, and I believe in you could reincarnate or you could ascend, right now we're here. So why not make the best out of it and stop this? Let's have where we forgive everybody. Because, you know, we sit here and we have property ownership. You know, and Russia's telling you that Ukraine's always been Russia. That's a lie. The word Ukraine means borderland. All right? The Ukraine area, when Hitler was running around, they were the stormtroopers that were killing everybody. They went after the Eastern Orthodox and they went after the Ashkenazis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disgusting, but where does time begin? Who owns what? Well, maybe we should stop it. Maybe we should say, guess what? New rules, new land. We're all going to forgive everyone for their past. And we're going to try to create a world. And I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And I'm taking a line from John Lennon, but where did he get it from? I dream. I see peace. I see love. I see happiness. And when I was a boy, it was called the, what were they called? The Brothers. Chambers Brothers, which was a great group.
Do you see? I don't know them, but it's, you know, before my time, obviously. Tell me, do you see any specific role or part for the people of Israel in all this fixing or jubilee or starting all over again? Or, I mean, let me rephrase it. I mean, the question was clear, but still, many people around the world, nations, are looking on to Israel to see what's happening here. Now, it was even before these last 2 years, before this corona, this pandemic or whatever. But even more so now, after Israel has become the world's lab, and many things have happened in Israel which didn't happen elsewhere, but not to neglect other countries. Some things have happened also in Canada, in Australia, etc. And looking from Israel on the world, looking at us, all right? And I know now, where are you now? Are you now in London, in England?
I'm in Miami.
In Miami, all right. Yeah. I forgot.
I was in England yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. We spoke when you were in England. Sorry. You're moving time zones, but you're still keeping time.
That's my whole life.
That's cool. How do you see Israel or the people of Israel, or what do you see the people of Israel have to do in order to break free or in order to fix what needs fixing?
I'll give you a simple answer, and if I offend people, love. The woman that introduced us, Dalit, she's an angel. She's searching for answers because she's the mother. And she considers everything in Israel as a mother, like Mother Earth. So she had me come there, and I've given lectures, and I upset some people, and I endeared myself to other people. If I ran your country, what would I do? I would invite the Palestinians to join Israel. I would end the apartheid state. I'd end all that nonsense where people make money by dividing. I know the Palestinians. I love them like I love anybody. In fact, they may be more Hebrew than anybody else, you know? I would end it. I would then say, look, you could worship your version of God all you want. We all have the same creator. That's what my books are about. And we have different rules and regulations, but we're going to play one sport. It's called the sport of love. And Israel will become the beacon light that could show the world that it can unite people that are traditionally hating each other because of whatever church or mosque or temple got in the way. We're going to build the one world order. And we're going to invite all the Middle East to join us because we all have different techniques and policies that could feed all of us. And we can make the Middle East the new EU, the Middle East Union, where all of you share product. You don't hate each other, and you then become a conduit. You know, you've got the North American Treaty. You got NATO, which I love. All of a sudden, North Atlantic Treaty Organization's having wars in Iraq. I'm like, what are they saying? I would end it. I would create different divisions of the world where you all work together. Maybe there's six divisions. You know, that's another book I wrote. It's called Man, Community, and Living the American Dream. What's the living the American dream? A place where you could live. Doesn't need to be American. It could be any dream. A place where you could live and raise your family and everyone has the opportunity to pursue their dream. I would unite Israel, and I would go unite all the Arab states because each state has their own particular asset. And yeah. People may think I'm crazy. I'm not. In 622 AD, when Muhammad created Islamic, right, he did it to get the Romans out of Jerusalem. You know, they tell you that the Hebrews were thrown out of Jerusalem. No, they weren't. In 130 and 70 AD, no, they weren't. The Second Temple may have been fallen. They may have ended whatever we would call them, however you pronounce it, the Sadducees. And then the Pharisees took it all over with their rules of law and disorder. You know, but 132 AD, you could look it up. The Hebrews and Romans had their biggest war. The Hebrews never left there. That's Catholic Church nonsense, where all of a sudden they became an us or a them, which is a Pink Floyd song, us and them. In the end, we're only ordinary men, right? I would unite people. I would end it. I would become the beacon light that you can be. And because Amen. For some reason, it begins in Israel. That's the heartbeat.
That's what I'm referring to. And that's why I ask for your take on that, because you say, look, it's one thing to say, look, you just need to unite. You just need to come together. That's great. But not bad. At the same time, in reality, especially in Israel, in these 75 years or so of existence of a state, the people of Israel here have been divided into so many sects, so many groups, whether it's the religious one and the secular ones and the semi-secular or the semi-religious, whether it's the you know, the awakened one, the asleep ones, the high-tech people or the low-caste people, the rich, the bankers, and the rest of us. So many divisions in this small place with not so many people, really. And there's so much interest from around the world about this small place, what the people of this small place are going to do. So when you say just unite, I've been giving this example in the last few days. It's like when you're depressed and someone comes to you, forget about it, just smile. But you don't feel like smiling. It doesn't help. So my question or re-questioning, how to unite, how to break the divisions and come together, how to forget that we are one love, in unity, and we are going towards redemption. How to forget these divisions that have been put on us through, you know, manipulation and brainwash and propaganda, so many ways to manipulate us into thinking that we are separate entities. How to do that? How to come together again?
You need it. Okay. What you're going to do is you're going to build a new universe in the Middle East. To have a universe, you need a sun. The sun has to be the energy that all the other planets rotate around. The word planet means wanderers. So let's call the planet the nations that basically the British and French built, because there was no Syria, there was no Jordan, there was no Lebanon, there was no Iraq, there was no Kuwait, there may have been a Yemen, there was definitely Arabia, but there was no Saudis running it. It's like, all right, let's just end all this. Let's become one team. And the person, you're going to need a person to do it. And I believe that person needs to understand history. So if someone's saying me, this should happen, this or this, you need someone that can sit and go, no, you're wrong. This is what happened. You know, there were people here before Abraham was driven to bring the people there, yeah, because for 40 years they were killing somebody to go steal that land. And, you know, who is these gods? I spent my whole life working and doing this. You know, I'm looking for a book. I wrote this book, it took me 50 years. The Colonization of Earth, The Making of Mankind. I was gonna basically go to all the comic books and everywhere, except COVID came, so I didn't get it out. I had to stop. I used to talk about, I used to sit with Stan Lee. I worked with Stan Lee, X-Man, Spider-Man. He read this stuff. He read these books. You know, I've read the Babylon Bible. I've read the Hebrew Bible. I've read the New Testament. I've studied the Hindus. I've studied the Incas. You know, it's like Israel's like Hindu. It's caste system. No one, what do you mean it's like caste system? It's caste system. You know, everyone has their own caste. You need to, everyone will fall where they need to be. I wrote this book. This I wrote during COVID, but it's something that was part, it's a series. That's book one, that's book two, and this is book three. And in this book, I give you the birth of all religions. They all happened around 500 BC. What happened in 500 BC? Buddha was alive. You know, it's like, wait a minute, what is this stuff? Where's the Hindus religion? You had the Chinaman, whatever, Confucius. Mm-hmm. You had the Japanese making religions, and then you get imperial governments which enforce the religion, and then it becomes a business. It's not a place where you could sit. You have to pay to go sit into your church, your temple, or your... It's like, what are you doing? I truly believe that at some point, and maybe it's Putin, maybe that's why Putin came here, because mm-hmm. looking at what he's doing right now is revolting and disgusting. And maybe we need a new Ides of March. March 15th, they killed Caesar. Well, hello. You know, it's how could that country, I mean, we all watch TV. You're watching them walk into a place where they're walking around in yoga mats and they're being shot at. It's like, what is this? You know, it's sad. It needs to stop. I believe some energy could do it. And if it starts in the Middle East, if you're the place to make peace, and if you're the place to become the best soccer team in the world, the best in the Olympics. It's like, let's go. Someone's going to do it. Some energy is going to come because we keep repeating the same mistakes. We kill each other. We hate each other because my God's bigger than yours. How about Europe? You've got the Roman Catholic Church fighting the Eastern Orthodox Church, which is basically the West versus the East, since 1066 when they excommunicated themselves. That's insane. That is truly insane. I'm
going back
to be drafted. I'd love to sit in your country, speak to it. I'd love to sit and give lectures on history, true history. You know, it's where you could look and go, oh, that's what they did.
I'm going back to my question, Stephen. specifically for the people of Israel, how they can put aside all the divisions and come together as one.
You need to forgive each other.
Thank you.
You need to totally forgive each other.
Thank you.
The past was your ass. You forgive my language. You shitted it out. Now it's back in earth. Plant it. Get the new seeds. Love each other. Build together. If you want to do this for your religion, religion, by the way, in Latin to English, it means to bind. If you want to bind yourself this way, go do it. But don't sit and believe that we're not all the same. I want to do this. I'm going to breathe the air this way. You breathe it that way. But let's help each other. Let's work together. You know, when I lived in LA, I lived through many, many earthquakes. And what was amazing was when the earthquake first came, everybody was neighbors. Everyone ran out. They would help each other. And then within a week, they forgot that they were friends.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through a few major disasters. I mean, the hurricanes, it's insane. You need to forgive each other and build a common dream, a dream where everyone could live their ways to live and walk in peace. Mm-hmm. And you say hello to each other with a smile on your face when you're really saying to each other, you know, I love you.
This morning, I mean, never mind, also in the last, again, 10, 12 days, I've been speaking exactly about that. And this morning, just so you know, you see, again, this synchronicity, these coincidences, they are here for a reason. It's just to show us that we are being watched, we are being looked after, and we are given the right signs to follow. I mean, if it's in the right path, then we are given these signs. This morning, I spoke about, when I started the broadcast of today, I spoke about forgiveness. I spoke about, in a very simple manner, because I'm very simple, right? I look only on the outside, on the superficial, let's just say. And I spoke about one doing, like harming someone else. He may not notice it, but it's only on the outside. Everyone who harms someone else always knows that he's done something. He may cover it with some other things, other thoughts, other emotions, other doings, but he always knows that he did something wrong. At that time, he needs to stop and look exactly on that. And then he needs the courage to go and say, sorry, sorry I did that. Now, on the other hand, and we both been in both sides, the other guy, the other one in front of him, in front of me, he has been hurt. And now someone is coming and ask for forgiveness. Now he can choose whether to forgive or not, but first he has to admit, or maybe he would like to be more angry before he forgives someone. This is really, without going too much into details, because in Hebrew it sounds better, at least in my ears, because I can express myself better. So without going into that many details about that, it's like a fine balance. It's like a little dance that each and every one of us has to do in his own heart, in order, because again, we've both been in and are in both sides, in harming or hurting someone and asking for forgiveness or saying I'm sorry, and also the other side of being hurt by someone and maybe forgiving him or her. This fine balance between in us, in our heart, in our conscience, between I've hurt someone or someone has to apologize for me. We need to be really aware of that, especially at this time, because this is, I believe, like you just said, is the answer. You know, I specifically pressed on this question again, what the people of Israel need to do in order to forget or put aside their divisions and to come as one. And you said twice what you said, and I said exactly, I said, yes, true, I amen. It resonates again with what I said this morning and what I've been going with in these last 2 weeks. So thank you very much for that. Really, yes.
Thank you for letting me talk. I mean, I have a lot I want to share, and I don't know all the answers, but I know this much. I hear something. I mean, I mean, if Israel got its act together and became one state and then invited the others to join it and made their own version of the EU, you would rule the world.
Yes.
They wouldn't know what to do. Yeah. And all of a sudden, all these little dicks running around dividing your nation, dividing your country, it would end. I've been in Israel. I've spent a lot of time there. You know, and I went looking all through Egypt and all through that area. The area I'd love to go see is Yemen, you know, because it's... Yeah. It's older than old, you know. Yes. I would love to just see the geographical imprints there. Yeah. You know, it's fascinating, and I want to see the world. You know, it's the autumn of my years, as Frank Sinatra once sang. But anyway, I'm ready to share whatever I have.
Stephen Machat, thank you very much for sharing with us your knowledge and your broad spectrum about life and everything. Something tells me we are going to talk soon again. I don't know if online or offline, but we are going to talk soon. And for now, I just want to thank you, for myself and for the viewers and listeners, for sharing with us your time and your wisdom. Thank you ever so much.
No, thank you. And if people have answers, questions, let them talk to you and send it to me. I'm honored.
Excellent. So you heard him, you heard Stephen. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them. And meanwhile, I just want to say goodbye and thank you. And I will put just before finishing here, I just want to put this another song of Rabbi Shlomo Karlibach, and it's about God.
Okay, one last thing, if I just may.
Please, yeah.
They can reach me through my website. Stephen, Steven, Machat.com.
I just paste the website address here in the comments, so you can contact Stephen through his website, through the contact section, and I just shared your website here. So
and thank you. And by the way, if you have any good music, send it my way, because you never know. Right? And keep smiling. You got a beautiful smile.
You too.
You've got red cheeks. It's beautiful.
Thanks a lot, man. All the best.
To know you. And bless you.
Same here. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, friends, this is, brothers and sisters, this is a song. Actually, this is the Jewish answer to the world. The first thing we say, Ola Avinu Chai, God is living, God is living, God is living. And then we tell the world, as long as God is living, as long as God is living, Am Yisrael Chai, Israel is living. Because you and I know the truth, as long as there is one God in the world. Israel is eternal, there'll always be Jews in the world, because God has shown us to carry his torch and light the world. Oh, Avinu Chai,
Oh,